Going Deeper with God. This show exists to refresh our relationships with our Father by having a place to go with Him each week. Pastor Barbara Moore and Dr. Becky Slaybaugh call upon the Holy Spirit to guide us in deeply reconnecting with God. You can learn more about Barbara and Becky at goingdeeperwithgod.org. We pray that this show helps you grow in prayer, hear the voice of God, and keep Jesus in your soul. All right, let's go deeper with God.
I want to go deeper.
Welcome to all you awesome ones out there that love KLDC. It's a rockin' station, and we are so happy to offer to you every week on Saturday night, Going Deeper with God. You know, life is always better when we have more of God than less. And it's a simple thing to say, but this show, a Harvest Mountain Ministries broadcast, is to help you and to help me grow deeper in our relationship with God. So we just thank you that you're tuned in this week. And if you are tuned in, today we're going to talk again, week two, with Sarah Devenport. She's an author and a consultant, and she teaches on subjects that help people reach their maximum potential. We all need that. She's the founder of ANTWORCS, a wonderful ministry with simple solutions for a complicated life that has a lot of challenges. She has lifestyle programs that will help teach you techniques for understanding yourself and others better. Now, we all need that, so that you can overcome personal and professional misunderstandings and communicate more effectively with the people in your life. You can visit www.antworcs.com to learn more about what Sarah's going to share today, and you can find us on goingdeeperwithgod.org blog post or Going Deeper with God Facebook post to follow up if you like what Sarah's going to say. And Sarah, how are you for this week?
I'm doing wonderful, Barbara. Thank you for having me back for a second show.
Well, our topic today is a topic that both Sarah and I love, which is spiritual warfare. And Sarah shared last week that at the age of 12, she became interested in the fact that she could communicate with God. And obviously, God gives us gifts when we are formed before the foundation of the earth. Is that true, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So He gave you an inclination and a desire to know about spiritual warfare. So,
Absolutely.
So give us a little recap of what you talked about last week.
Well, in the first part of our conversation, we discussed kind of how I came to be interested in spiritual warfare. And the key is that at the point that I was saved at a revival, I was 12 years old, and the best news of all to me was that that gave me the ability to jump over church protocol and go straight to the feet of God directly. And for me, that was an exciting prospect because I had a laundry list of questions that at that point had not been answered to my satisfaction within the context of the protocol. And so, you know, I was all fired up and said, I can't wait to just have a conversation directly with the guy who created it all and bring myself the answers I need. And on the topic of spiritual warfare specifically, I discovered that not a lot of education was available here within the earthly context. So I got a few resources. I adored C.S. Lewis and a book by Mark Bubeck called Overcoming the Adversary. Of course, I spent plenty of time in prayer. And in the mid-'80s, I was exposed to Bob Larson's radio ministry, where he very boldly walked in to release people from satanic cultism. And that was helpful to me. But more than anything else, I traveled a journey of my own and am looking forward to sharing what I've discovered, currently forming a training curriculum for the layperson so that they can hopefully take advantage of my 30-plus years of exploration on this subject. And we were going to talk a little further today, maybe about some of those specifics that I'm going to include in the curriculum.
Okay, so share with us, you said there's three phases that you're going to teach on. So what is phase one?
Right, so three phases of spiritual warfare just helps people get back to a beginning point. So phase one, I would say, could be described as the awakening phase or the enlightenment phase. Those are buzzwords lots of folks are hearing nowadays, especially within, New Age positive thinking pathways. Those are terms that are very familiar. The key is knowing that an enemy exists. Kind of a challenge, in fact, one of my mentors in training on human behavior, Dr. Robert Rome, says you cannot be aware of something you're not first aware of. So phase one is to become aware of a truth that whether or not you can see them with your eyes, there are enemies out there whose goal is your destruction. And, you know, C.S. Lewis wrote in Screwtape Letters, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and then to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So I say that phase one is very neutral in its best form. Phase one is a neutral approach to recognizing, understanding that an enemy exists out there.
Okay, and then once you have people that start that and they're aware and they learn and they have some knowledge, then where do they go from there?
Right. Well, you know, there is a lot of, in fact, I would say that if people are looking to become aware, your book is a beautiful expression of that, Lean In Closer with God. And for those who maybe didn't catch show number one, I had the privilege of being the editor of Barbara's book that is just newly released and doing marvelously well at Amazon. But Barbara's book is a beautiful way of getting that awareness of who God is and how you can communicate directly with God. Also, I know Becky is a guest host with you, and Becky Flaybaugh's book, The Ultimate Treasure Hunt, is another one that can be very helpful in having individuals begin that process of opening themselves up to this awareness of God and ultimately the fact that there are enemies that speak opposite to what God communicates.
So what I'm hearing you say, I think, you tell me, but it sounds like that in the discernment part, that it's your very relationship with God that is so key in order to go further in this spiritual warfare thing, because if you're very distant from God and you study some things about the dark side, then it's not going to go very well or very far if you are not in communion with God yourself as you're trying to learn about this. Is that right?
Absolutely, Barbara, and I think you've just touched on phase two. Awakening is only phase one. Phase two, and you said it, discernment. It's one thing to know there's an enemy, but with discernment, you are able to recognize the enemy, and you'll be able to put form to this enemy so that you can take the enemy out of the crowd. Of course, God knows his enemy very clearly, so like you pointed out, Barbara, building a relationship with the creator of all things is a critical piece of developing the discernment necessary to recognize the enemy. I think it's maybe the missing piece that I'm hoping to fill with some of my training because, as I indicated, I found resources and educational materials rather lacking on the how-to, develop this discernment. As I was beginning, you know, this was back in the late 70s and early 80s that I first became aware of this, and I didn't find enough information that was teaching me a step-by-step process. And so, of course, the beautiful thing is that it encouraged me to stay at the feet of God, like you indicated, and certainly like your book promotes and helps teach and develop the skill set of, you know, how to get to the feet of God so that you can recognize that voice clearly and begin to use that to develop the relationship with God. I think that's where you must begin. Certainly there are tools out there. Discernment in its simplest form biblically is listed as the Ten Commandments, and then as Jesus indicated later, kind of shortening those into two commandments. Becky's book also talks about helping to break through, you know, her ultimate treasure hunt is, you know, kind of how to break through that negative self-talk in your head to find that purpose for which God has designed you. And, you know, so I think that they're surfacing even now, like you ladies, your books are newly on the market. And I think new information in the training area is surfacing now. And I'm hoping to add to that with the lessons that I've learned over the last several years. My idea is to put it into a kind of a self-paced curriculum so that individuals can learn as they go. And put it into practice as they move along. So that's kind of what I'm hoping exists in this phase two, is that we can build up this skill set in the lay people, the people that maybe don't have access to some of the the higher level writings that may be available to Christian leadership. We're all parents, or many of us are parents, and if not, certainly we have parents. We have people in our lives for which we would love to support and lift up, and having the proper tools to know how to do this effectively, I think will grant many individuals a new freedom of movement within the spirit.
I just feel that people are thinking to themselves right now, you know, I might take a photography class, but I'm not really sure I want to take a class in spiritual warfare because, you know, I don't really get it totally, but, you know, I don't know if I want to delve into that. But, again, the Word of God defines our life. I mean, we are to walk in holiness and obedience before God. I was just meditating on Psalm 119 this morning, and the Bible says very specifically to resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an action. I mean, that is an action. So actions need information or revelation, right? Is that what you want
exactly.
to help people get, revelation?
Right, agreed. Yeah, action is best. If you think about the concept of, say, let's put it, speaking of, you know, carpenters and woodworking, you know, you begin as an apprentice, and the best place to be is watching, observing a master craftsman at their art, so that when that master craftsman feels confident in handing you your first tool, even if you were not previously familiar with that tool, you've been observing, and then you move from apprentice, and you move through the processes of journeyman, etc., and more tools become available to you, and each step along that way, you maybe for the first time maneuver that tool, and maybe your first work looks a little rough compared to the master's work you've been observing, but it is the process. It's how humanity learns, and we need these action steps, like you said, to be able to effectively move from apprentice, which is an acceptable place, but ideally we all desire a mastery in that particular work. And so for some, it is not their calling, but for those to whom it is their calling, it really is everything. And the passion to become a master of the art of spiritual warfare is an area that certainly has drawn me in, and these are the people that I'm seeking to assist. It would be for God to call me a master, not myself, but certainly my 30 years of training I would happily share with anyone who had the same hunger and longing to master the art of spiritual warfare rather than fleeing some tools at the process and hoping for something that functions in the end.
That's wonderful, because I'm thinking of, parents, for example, or maybe small group leaders or youth group leaders or people, again, in families or neighborhoods, and people have questions. And Jesus was so specific with the disciples about his teaching them about spiritual warfare. And he would teach them, and then he would send them. And I remember, I love that verse where they came back and said, "Golly, Jesus, even the demons listen to us." And they didn't know. They were just learning, and he sent them out, and then they came back, and he sent them out. And he fathered them in this skill set. So on the phase three, then, in your materials that are going to come out, what is that going to be like?
Right. So in show one, we listed, phase one, phase two, phase three. So phase one being the awareness, phase two being discernment. And in my personal opinion, then, I think phase three is actual warfare, where you confront the enemy. And I see a lot of people jumping to phase three without necessarily the firm foundation stones of phase one and phase two. So I would say that phase three is the action of actual spiritual warfare, when you are aware that a devil exists, that you recognize that devil in the crowd, and then and only then are you effectively equipped to really move into that confrontational phase. An example might be, well, certainly your phrasing is beautiful, the subtitle of your book, Extreme Vertical in a Horizontal World. I think that that's a beautiful visual, because it must exist in anyone who is taking on spiritual warfare. You will have your horizontal experience, let's say parent to child, or whatever, co-worker, or possibly if you're in Christian leadership, you may have a wounded, traumatized individual in front of you, possibly even an individual who is, like in Bob Larson's ministry, an individual who is openly expressing a burden of spiritual oppression right at that time. These are the kinds of horizontal experiences you will be having, not to mention all of the prayer closet experiences that will allow you to move at an even broader level out into global experiences. You know, in your prayer closet with God, you don't necessarily need to be the person that you're praying for or the group of people that you're praying for, but you can still take action for them. So, you know, this would be a phase three event, right? This would be a phase three event. Some of the important pieces of that would be to assure that you have the authority to be involved, and that would deeply require that developed dialogue with the Creator that could recognize and hear clearly when the Creator said, yes, you are free to act in this situation. Let's do this together. Let's work together and confront the enemy. A lot of that involves knowing, being assured that there are no judgments being held against you in the heavenly courts. You know, that would be important. Like, there's quite a bit of that in 1 Corinthians, both chapter 9 and chapter 10, that talk about Paul feeling that his position as an apostle, you know, discusses that appropriateness of not judging your brother. I think that's a big key piece of it. Because if you place yourself in judgment, of course, there's scripture that holds you account at the same level, right? So very important, if you're going to confront the enemy, that you not be in a judgment in that same area, because trust me, the enemy will use it against you, and you don't want to be in a vulnerable place there. You don't want to crack in your armor. Obviously, understanding the armor of God, right? The breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, doing deep studies into what these mean in the action of spiritual warfare. Recognizing that prophetic dreams can give you some insight and some clarity. However, they need to be discerned with wisdom so that they are clear. Okay, so these things, let's say these foundation stones are in place. Then if you've been assured of your authority, I'd say that the place that you could take here would be to remove fear and confusion. You would have the authority to stand in the gap between this individual and the lie that was trying to deceive them at that time. You know, 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. So in that place where you are in a place of full expression of love, you have that authority to stand in the gap against fear that this other individual may be experiencing. And you also must remember, and this goes back to appropriate authority and some of Paul's work in 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, you need to leave the final choice to the individual, because you can't make it for them any more than God would. Our free will is our free will. You need to understand that. You need to know when to step away. You need to know when you have made the lie clear, when you have created an appropriate separation between the individual and the deception, and then you need to stand with them, but you cannot decide for them. That leaves them vulnerable. That's much like the parable that says, keep out the house, but if you don't shut and lock the door, they're going to come back, and they're going to come back 100-fold, and it's going to be worse than if you had never taken them on to begin with. So the key is to educate that individual so that they can stand on their own foundation stone and lock that door so that the enemy doesn't have an opportunity to return.
So you're going to write these manuals, but how are you going to, are you going to just sell these manuals to people, or are you going to have classes with the manuals, and how are you going to roll that out?
You know, I came across a marvelous online opportunity that I'm exploring at this moment. It's called Udemy. It's a merging of the word university and academy. It's called Udemy.com, U-D-E-M-Y.com. It is the motherlode of online education, and it's done in a structure very similar to the kinds of online structures you would find if you were enrolled at a college and you were taking an online course from a professor. There are multimedia information, so there's access to the educator through videos, through articles, through quizzes, and, you know, very much like an online college-level course. Udemy does not require their instructors to be college professors, if only because they're a global access and lots of different rules apply from country to country as to who has credentials for that. So they leave the expertise to you if you consider yourself someone who has expertise in a topic and wants to educate others. They provide this platform where you can structure your program and make it available to the public in a format that they can utilize at their own pace and for whatever price point you choose to place on it, including free, if that's where your heart is led. So I'm looking into using something like that to begin with.
Okay, so you're going to help the body of Christ in Metro Denver, but you're going to help the body of Christ wherever people can come into this, you know, cyber online academy or whatever. And can you tell the listeners again how they would get in touch with you and just overview again the giftings that you have that they may want to get in touch with you?
Okay, certainly. Well, again, my name's Sarah Davenport, and I started out in radio in the 80s and had a passion for talk radio and the educational ability of radio. So I'm so excited to be back doing a radio-type program again. Thank you so much for the invitation, Barbara. And my journey has been one in my Christian walk of having a passion for mastering spiritual warfare. And I found that there wasn't a lot of education on the subject, so I have been compiling all of my notes and bits and pieces and all that the Lord has downloaded to me over the 30-plus years that I've been pursuing this particular agenda. And I'm eager now to see if I can package this into a format that allows people like myself. I'm a mother and a wife and a professional businesswoman. I meet with lots of people in lots of different situations on a daily basis, and I had a hunger to have access to the armor of God and the ability to come against the enemy when and wherever I saw this enemy. My hope is that I am able to impart what I have learned to those out there who have that same passion, those who are as hungry as I was to step into this place for God and to serve God in this way. Certainly, it's not for everyone, and that's fine. But for those whose heart is stirred by this, it becomes everything for them because it has such an ability to impact your world for the better, no matter what your current circumstances or situation. Always, I would recommend, begin with yourself. This is the only place I was able to start, and so I would recommend that you immediately get a copy of Barbara's book and Becky's book, and you start building that relationship with God so that you have this dialogue developing, if not well-developed. And then if this stirs your heart, you're welcome to communicate with me. My curriculum is in process, and I'm hoping to manifest this by this fall. And so contacting me, you can reach me through my business website, which is known as AntWorks. AntWorks is an acronym that stands for Applying New Techniques Without Restrictions Create Success. So it's AntWorks.com. AntWorks.com. And then you can learn a little bit more about my training, my credentials, training and teaching that I've done here in the Denver metro area. And it also has a contact me page if you'd like to reach me through that. You can also just directly email me at info@antworks.com if you have more questions on the subject between now and the time when I have the curriculum released. And also if you'd like to just make sure that I have your name on a list so that when the curriculum is released, you get a notice of that. Again, just send me a little note at info@antworks.com, and I'll gather that all together and make sure that you're informed of the process and the progress.
That's amazing. What a great opportunity, listeners, to pray about and think about getting in touch with Sarah. And if you'd like to comment on some of what she shared today, please go to our Facebook page, Going Deeper with God, or check out our website, goingdeeperwithgod.org, and enjoy the full MP3 of the radio show at another time so you can soak it in. And we just want to pray with you right now. So, Sarah, would you pray for the listeners?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lord, first of all, I would say thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for the way in which you bring your people together. And thank you that this new ability to communicate globally through the airwaves and through the internet has provided many people to find each other across large expanses of space and even time changes so that your people can find the support for like-minded believers that they need to be able to do the work that is in their heart, to be able to accomplish the goals that stir their soul's action. And so, Lord, at this particular time, we pray for all those who are listening. And we ask that you would enter into their lives and answer the questions that they have burning on their hearts, whatever these may be, and whatever struggles that they may be facing at this particular time, Lord. We pray that you would enter in and assure them of your almighty authority in the position so that they can find a freedom, so that they can be relieved from the burdens that are holding them back from expressing you as fully as they might like. And Lord, wherever we are able to intercede, we do so in the authority of Christ. And we hold these people up for you, Lord, so that in this moment, even now, we stand in the gap and we help to clarify for them the distinction between that which is you and that which is an illusion of you, so that they can see clearly who you are, so that as they stand at whatever crossroads are in their lives at this moment, they can recognize the path that leads to you, and they can turn away from the path that leads them astray, and they can follow, though it maybe is rocky and narrow and challenging, but they would find the strength and support that they need to be able to move closer to you.
We want to thank you so much for tuning in this week to Going Deeper with God, and we wish you God's greatest blessing from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. We pray for the presence of God to permeate your heart and your mind and your soul.
And never take all I am. Sign your name on the picture.